Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Mario Ritter in Washington.
And I'm Anna Mateo. Each day, we bring you a program that helps you learn American English as you hear about issues of interest to people around the world.
We speak at a slower speed and use words that are easy to understand. On today's program, we talk about taking care of our aging populations.
There are a few advanced words in the following report that we should explain. First is the adjective out of pocket. This means to pay for something with your own money instead of money from someone else, such as the government or your workplace.
You'll also hear the words chronic, which means something is continuing or long-term, and independent, which means to not require or depend on others. Anna starts by telling us about the world's aging population and what that means for family members and others.
Everywhere in the world, people are living longer. Studies show the average age of the human population is rising.
By the year 2050, an estimated 2 billion people will be aged 60 or older, and the number of people 80 years or older will have almost quadrupled to 395 million. That is the latest number from the United Nations World Health Organization.
The WHO says governments must prepare now to deal with an increasingly aging world. As people age, they may develop long-term health problems. These disorders may affect their quality of life and create problems for society and healthcare systems.
Caring for an aging population takes both time and money. The responsibility of caring for an older person often falls on family members, and this can create difficulties.
Gail Gibson Hunt is Chief Executive Officer with the National Alliance for Caregiving. Her group helps American families that care for sick or elderly family members. Ms. Hunt says some families experience what she calls caregiver burnout. She says the condition can affect a person in many ways.
Americans say they need several things to reduce the stress of caring for aging or disabled family members, according to Ms. Hunt. These things include money, medical training, and sometimes just giving the caregiver a break.
They typically will say they need a break, which is certainly something that can help with potential burnout. They often talk about needing financial assistance. They are spending, in the U.S., on average, about $5,500 a year in out-of-pocket costs.
In 2050, China will be the country with the largest population aged 80 years or over, with 90 million. India will come in second, with 37 million, and the U.S. will be third with 32 million. Ms. Hunt says studies have found that Sweden and Finland lead the world in supporting caregivers. She says the U.S. is far behind other English-speaking countries in giving families support for caring for sick and aging family members.
Ms. Hunt says Britain, Australia, New Zealand, and Ireland do a better job than the United States in terms of their support to caregivers. She says that all four countries have strong government-supported caregiver programs. Families can get financial help and resources to help them care for elderly family members as well as disabled children.
You are listening to As It Is, a VOA Learning English program. After a short break, we talk about caregiver burnout in different cultures around the world. We will also hear about ways to avoid it. So stay with us.
In the first half of the show, we heard from an expert about caregiver burnout. Gail Gibson Hunt is our main expert today. Ms. Hunt is the Chief Executive Officer with the National Alliance for Caregiving. She explained which countries are doing the best in helping caregivers take care of the elderly. She tells us about the culture of caregiving around the world, and how to avoid getting burned out caring for others.
In some cultures, it is the family's responsibility to care for aging family members. So even the word caregiver does not exist in many cultures.
Well, and in India, I think this is interesting. There are so many middle-class Indian people young people who have moved to Australia or the UK or the US, they just send money back. There's, I think, an ongoing discussion in India of what's really the responsibility of the family, that they never even knew what the word caregiver was because it's just what you did.
Ms. Hunt says that is similar in China.
And the same thing actually is in China. China, you probably know, has passed a law saying that adult children must send money back to support the family. And they've started implementing this law now.
Ms. Hunt says that she found the situation in Japan to be far different. She says that Japan offers long-term insurance for families, and they also have a tradition of family caregiving. But, she says, they do not have a group of caregiving organizations that work together.
Japan has a lack of young people to care for its aging population. To answer that problem, Japan has sometimes turned to other countries to train people to work in healthcare.
Scientists in Japan have also invented caregivers. Recently, scientists and engineers from Riken Brain Science Institute teamed up with a rubber maker to invent Robear. This robot is designed to move patients from a bed to a wheelchair.
No matter where in the world they live, Ms. Hunt advises caregivers to reach out for help if they feel they are suffering from burnout.
The WHO also advises people to get more exercise, eat healthy food, and get enough sleep.
These activities will help to keep you healthy and independent later in life. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is program from the Voice of America.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
Words and Their Stories, a VOA special English program about American expressions. I'm Rich Kleinfeld with some financial words and expressions used in business and the stock market. Our first expression is in the red. It is another way of saying that a business is losing money. In the past, numbers in the financial records of a company were written in red ink to show a loss. A business magazine recently published a report about a television company. The report said the company was still in the red, but was able to cut its loss from the year before. A profit by a business is written in black numbers. So a company that is in the black is making money. An international news service reported that a private health insurer in Australia announced it was back in the black with its first profit in 3 years. Another financial expression is run on the bank. That is what happens when many people try to withdraw all their money from a bank. A run on the bank usually happens when people believe there is danger a bank may fail or close. Newspaper reports about a banking crisis in Russia use that expression. They said the government acted because of fears that the crisis would cause a run on the banks. When a run on the banks was starting, there was not much they could do, said a banking expert. Day trading is a new expression about a system that lets investors trade directly on an electronic market system. The system is known as NASDAQ, short for the National Association of Securities Dealers Automated Quotation. It was the first completely computerized stock market. It sells stocks of companies not listed on any stock exchange. Many high technology companies are listed on it. Day trading companies provide a desk and a computer system to an investor who wants to trade. Individuals must provide $50,000 or more to the trading company to pay for the stocks they buy. Thousands of other investors do day trading from computers in their homes. A day trader watches stock prices carefully. When he sees a stock rise in price, he uses the computer to buy shares of the stock. If the stock continues to rise in price in the next few minutes, the day trader sells the shares quickly to make a small profit. Then he looks for another stock to buy. If a stock goes down instead of up, he sells it and accepts the loss. The idea is to make a small profit many times during the day. Day traders may buy and sell stocks hundreds of times each day. Many day traders lose all their money in a week or so. Only about 30% succeed in earning enough from their efforts to continue day trading. This VOA special English program, Words and Their Stories, was written by Frank Beardsley. This is Rich Kleinfeld.
People in America, a program in special English on the Voice of America. She lived almost 400 years ago in what became the American state of Virginia. She was the first Native American to marry a white person. I'm Shirley Griffith.
And I'm Ray Freeman. Today we tell about Pocahontas, the daughter of the chief of the Powhatan Indian tribe.
Pocahontas was born in 1595. She was one of 20 children of Chief Powhatan. Powhatan ruled a group of more than 20 Indian tribes in territory that is now the eastern state of Virginia. In 1607, the Virginia Company in England sent colonists to settle the land that later became the United States of America. The leader of the English settlers was John Ratcliffe. He claimed the land for King James of England. He named the new colony Jamestown, Virginia. The English colonists did not know that the area already was settled by Indians.
The Powhatan Indians lived in the area where the English colonists landed. They were part of a large group of American tribes who spoke the Algonquin language. The Powhatans had lived in the area for almost 1,000 years. They built villages. They grew beans, corn, squash, and melons. They created a strong political system, led by powerful chiefs like Powhatan. His power and wealth were evident. Women of the tribes controlled the houses and the fields. They made clothing of animal skins and containers of clay. Men hunted and fished for food. Both men and women wore earrings and other objects made of shells, pearls, and copper. The young Pocahontas often visited Jamestown during the colony's first months. She was about 12 years old. The colonists knew her well. She became an important link between the colonists and her father, Powhatan.
The Indians' culture was very different from that of the English settlers. The two groups did not understand each other. The misunderstandings led to hostile incidents between the colonists and the Indians. John Smith was an explorer, soldier, and a leader of the Jamestown colony. He was captured in 1607 by the followers of Powhatan. Captain Smith wrote about this incident in a book that was published in 1624. He wrote that Pocahontas saved him from being executed by Powhatan. This story has been repeated for hundreds of years. This is what most people know about Pocahontas.
Most historians, however, do not believe that Pocahontas saved the life of John Smith. Some believe that Captain Smith invented the story after reading about a similar event that took place in Florida. That event involved a captured Spanish explorer, an Indian chief, and the chief's daughter. Some historians do not believe that John Smith's life was in danger. They say that what Captain Smith thought was to be his execution was really an Indian ceremony. The ceremony was meant to show that Powhatan accepted Smith as part of his tribe. Historians say the Indian chief wanted to make the English colonists his allies.
After Captain Smith's capture, the Indians and the colonists agreed to a truce. Pocahontas visited Jamestown more often. She may not have really saved John Smith's life, but most experts agree that Pocahontas helped the colonists. She brought them corn when they were starving. She once was said to have warned the colonists about a surprise attack by the Indians. John Smith had been wounded during his capture. He returned to England. Hostilities once again broke out between the Indians and the English settlers. In 1611, Thomas Dale became acting governor of the colony. He started a new aggressive policy toward the Indians. 2 years later, an English soldier, Samuel Argall, kidnapped Pocahontas. She was about 18 years old. The colonists kidnapped her because they wanted to prevent more attacks by the Indians. They also wanted to force Chief Powhatan to negotiate a peace agreement.
Pocahontas lived as a hostage in the Jamestown settlement for more than a year. A colonist, John Rolfe, taught her English. He also taught her the Christian religion. Pocahontas was the first Native American to become Christian. She changed her name to Rebecca. In 1614, she married John Rolfe in the church in Jamestown. She was the first Indian woman to marry a white man. Her husband believed that their marriage would be good for the colony. John Rolfe said he married Pocahontas for the honor of our country, for the glory of God.
Governor Dale immediately opened negotiations with Powhatan. The result was a period of peace that lasted for about 8 years. Pocahontas's husband was a tobacco grower. She taught him the Indian way of planting tobacco. This method improved the tobacco crop. Tobacco later became America's first successful crop.
In 1615, Pocahontas and John Rolfe had a son. They named him Thomas. The next year, Pocahontas and her family sailed to England for a visit. In London, she was treated like a famous person. She was officially presented to King James I. She also met John Smith again. The Virginia Company said her visit proved that it was possible to have good relations between the English colonists and the Indians. The company urged more people to move from England to the Virginia colony. Pocahontas had her picture painted while visiting England. She is wearing the clothes she wore when she met the king. They are the kind of clothes that were popular in England in the 1600s. This picture is the only one that really is of her.
Pocahontas and her family stayed in England for 7 months. They prepared to return to Jamestown. But Pocahontas became sick with smallpox. She died from the disease. She was buried in Gravesend, England. She was 22 years old. Her son, Thomas Rolfe, was raised in England. When he was 20, he returned to Virginia. He lived as a settler in his mother's native land. He married and had a daughter. Through Thomas Rolfe, a number of famous Virginians have family ties to Pocahontas. These families are proud to claim their ties to Pocahontas. They call her Virginia's First Lady.
Pocahontas left no writings of her own. The only reports about her from the time were written by John Smith. His reports may not all have been true, yet the story of her rescue of Captain Smith became a popular folk story. Americans know that Pocahontas played a part in the early history of Virginia. They remember her bravery and friendship. Americans also remember her for what she represented as a Native American, the hope of close relations between the white people and the Indians.
Pocahontas is honored in the United States Capitol building in Washington, D.C. There are three artworks of her in the large, round, main hall of the Capitol. There are more representations of her than any other American, except for the nation's first president, George Washington. The three artworks show the popular stories about Pocahontas. One is a painting of Pocahontas taking part in a religious ceremony in which she became a Christian. Two others show her saving the life of Captain John Smith.
Many different American groups have used the name and some version of a picture of Pocahontas. Whale hunters in the 19th century named ships after Pocahontas in honor of her bravery. They also put small statues of her on their ships. Both the Confederate forces in the South and the Union forces in the North used her name or picture during the American Civil War. A picture of Pocahontas was on the flag of a division of Confederate forces called the Guard of the Daughters of Powhatan. Union forces named a warship after the Indian woman. Many American writers have written about Pocahontas. The Walt Disney Company produced a popular children's movie about her.
Today, visitors to the Jamestown settlement in Virginia can see what life was like there in the 1600s. They can see copies of the ships that brought the English settlers. And they can see statues of three of the people important in early America: John Smith, Chief Powhatan, and his daughter, Pocahontas.
This special English program was written by Shelley Gollist. It was produced by LaJuan Davis. I'm Ray Freeman.
And I'm Shirley Griffith. Listen again next week for another People in America program on the Voice of America.